be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, indeed you are. 15th of October, 2017. This is Ever Beyond with JP, that's me. And, well, I have no guest. And I think I've got a few things to talk about because they're bubbling away in my head. So, I just want to, get about, I wanted to sort of do a catch up. Things have been moving so fast recently, haven't they? You know, really fast. I mean, we've been talking about it. So basically I kind of want to, catch up with a few maybe I told you so's, or we've already covered this, we see these things, and maybe output some of the input that has kind of traversed my mind this week. I've actually had a lovely week. I have a fireplace, a place where I have a fire, if you see, it's just, I can see it from, if I lean back in my studio, I can see it through the window. Anyway, it's a small area, about 10 feet square, and there's a fire pit in the middle, and the, I've been thinking about this, I've been getting around to doing things that I've been thinking about. You know how it is, you see a light and it's blinking and you think, ah, oh, I've got to fix that. And it doesn't go, so it's still on the blink, and you know, and anyway, I've been getting around to, you know, finishing off some of those little gnarling, nurkling little projects. And so the fire thing, what I did was to, bury some ceramic pipe that had been hanging around the garden, but you can use plastic pipe. It doesn't really matter because it's not going to get hot. You can essentially, you dig a trench to an open space, and you have a air intake for the fire that comes in underneath the fire, which makes it very much better to burn things. It burns much cleaner, you get much less smoke. Anyway, so these are the sort of things that I've been doing this week, is just getting around to doing things that I haven't had the chance to do in a very, very long time. So, one of the things that I haven't done in a very long time is to have an evening of discourse, you know, where I talk to myself, you, and sometimes people call back. So it'd be good if, people were to call in. But let me talk about some stuff first. So don't jump at the end. So first of all, now what's been going on that is majorly important for me this week? False flags and hoaxes. This week we've really been presented with a false flag. Maybe not even that. There seems to be a multi-level thing going on. It's all part of the big shock and awe plan to make everybody shocked and numb. And it's like when you administer drugs after drugs after drugs, they have half the effect every time you administer them. So, in the end, you have to go to really extreme measures. And, I don't know if we're quite in the extreme phase yet. Some people might say that. Depends what the scale, depends where the edges of the scale are, you know, where's the end of the scale. So, after looking at this and seeing, you know, there's multiple levels of this, and, you know, part of it is embarrassment of the FBI, the idea that this guy was selling guns, in a hotel. He was, part of Lockheed Martin, Oh, should we say that? Should we say Lockheed Martin? I think we should say Lockheed Martin. Because we hear Lockheed Martin once or twice. Weren't they the people that wanted to count our votes in Britain recently? Well, just someone remind me. Is that right? Lockheed Martin? That them? Anyway, Lockheed Martin, yeah. This guy, he worked for Lockheed Martin. Now he's dead. And he also sold weapons. He said, and Simon said, unregistered weapons. You know, these are the weapons that don't have serial codes on them that say these were made for the US military, or this is made for the US domestic market, and this is serial number 25734. Unmarked. You know, the sort of guns that criminals like. Anyway. Because if you've got gun laws, you have to have two sets of books. You know, you got the guns that you sell that are on the books. You know, if I was selling guns, this is what you'd have, you know. I'd sell guns that, you know, limited number of guns on the books, and a vast number of guns, you know, the iceberg beneath the tip, of unmarked weapons, wouldn't you? To make maximum profits in all spheres of those who use those things. Anyway. So. Here's some of my feelings. Number one is, this guy lived in this hotel, more or less. I mean, that he was there on such a regular basis that that's where he meets his people, you know, and what was going on in that room was nothing out of the ordinary, I would say. What do you think? I just have the feeling that there was and then they decided, so the FBI decided to muscle in and see if they could get some of the guys, and obviously the FBI marked him and tagged him, and they were watching all the cameras, but there were multiple games going on, and there were people watching the FBI, so they were probably tipped off by Mossad, and, you know, can I say Mossad? I don't know if I can say Mossad. Maybe I shouldn't say Mossad, but anyway. Should I say Lockheed Martin? I don't know. Anyway, Lockheed Martin, employee, was in a hotel in Las Vegas. Now, we also know, those of us who have been, you know, with our ears to the ground and our noses to the grindstone, have been watching, and we know that there are hotels in Las Vegas that have elevators that go all the way down into an underground tunnel railway system that go to, can I say Area 51? No, it's probably not called Area 51. It's probably called, I mean, it used to be S4, but that's until people found out about it. So it's probably S24 or something, you know, it's like, they're not very imaginative. Okay, they've found out about S4, let's move it to S6. You know, great. Okay, but anyway, S4, 5, 6, 7, wherever they've taken it, that's what's going on. Because that's what you do, isn't it? I don't have inside information. I'm just thinking from the inside of, it's like I make my mind most stupid. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Lockheed Martin. I shouldn't talk about Lockheed Martin. Anyway, so there's this event going on, and, the other thing that I was thinking is that there was obviously a rehearsed and filmed drill that happened the day before, because they have these things and it's been known, you know, and every so often there are these drills that happen. So there was an active shooter drill that happened to be in the same place where there was a hotel where there was a guy who worked for Lockheed Martin selling weapons. Where he sold them to some people who, now, here's the thing. Did the people who, actually, you know, took the guns and are they spawn of the original CIA? I mean, is this like something that has gone horribly, horribly wrong? Or was it all planned out? I'm not sure that it was, that this one was particularly planned, but I think it was opportunistically, seated. It's like that, you know, they make a drill and then they see if they can, they can actualize it. Maybe it's like manifestation. Maybe they're trying to use manifestation. There's a thought. You know, we're all sitting around trying to manifest our cars and our thing, you know, prosperity for everybody. And they're going about making us manifest their false flag events. Yeah, there's a thought. I never thought about that. Anyway, other things that have been passing around the brain this week. Yes. Fire. Yeah, I've been doing research into fire. It's very elemental this week. That's what it is. It's been very elemental. Obviously you've heard about the hurricane that's now moving towards Ireland, and we're kind of down the coast from Ireland, so that should be interesting. We'll probably get the edge of that. We get high winds here anyway in Scotland, and the houses and the buildings are all, you know, if they weren't built solidly, they wouldn't still be here. And there are houses that have been here for hundreds of years, so like my cottage. So hopefully, and I'm kind of sheltered from the west, so that's all right. And if it does take down a fir tree or two at the end, that's no problem either, because we'll get a bit more light. So, yeah, I'm prepared. But really, there's so much going on energetically. All right, so fire and air and, oh, yes, fire. Those fires in California have a dramatically computerized ring to them. It's almost as if an artificial intelligent computer was systematically using automated drone systems to specifically erase, my brothers and sisters, erase houses, leaving the trees standing, erasing cars. Who knows? How were they targeted? Were they targeted? Was there an iPhone in every place? Think about it, people. Was it your computer? Was it your smartphone? Your, what's that other thing? What things survived? Apparently there was a petrol station that survived. Isn't that interesting? Because that would make a good explosion if one of those got hit. But isn't that interesting that the petrol station got left? It's almost like they're just erasing the people there. What happened to the people? Where are all the people in the houses that were set fire to? Are there refugee camps? Where are the FEMA camps? Okay. Just those are things I've been thinking. Directed energy weapons, for sure. Very much like used on 9/11. And I've spoken about that with my insider, who now works for a military industrial complex, incorporation, that I can't mention, but it's not Lockheed Martin though, but it might be a subsidiary of Lockheed Martin. There we go. Yes, the Cabal's wine field survived. So it really looked very clinical, very digital, very like it was done by an artificial intelligence rather than the human hand, or an accident. For instance, my first thoughts was, oh, it's a meteor that's broken into bits and it's kind of hit California. But it, you know, looking at the pictures from above, it just seems like, yeah, somebody's been going around erasing these. Now, I used to work with geographical information systems, GIS, which is basically what you call Google Maps these days. But back in 2000 and, well, in 1996, 97, 98, 99. That's when I was working on this stuff. And it's really sophisticated. It's gotten, you know, it's gotten a lot more sophisticated then. That's where I learned about GPS and all that stuff. Anyway, what was I doing? What was I talking about? Yeah, so looking at these aerial photographs, just look like that's a computerized, like digital erasing, you know, just get rid of all the houses in this area. Leave the industry, destroy the real estate, flatten it. reformat the hard drive in this part of reality. It's getting that heartless. So, there was the other thing is about the weed fields. There's a marijuana, Mary Jane, the cannabis, the homegrown, West Coast professional, fields have also come under targeting. So, big heart goes out to the people who've been trying to grow the stuff for the medicine. And, because, there's a lot of it needed. Now, what else? My mind drifts back. I'm just having a kind of memory dump. I don't usually have this kind of thing, but, it feels necessary. It's like having someone to talk to. Where were we? Yeah, so there was hoaxes, false flags. Yeah, false flags, people die. Hoaxes, people don't die. I think this was a combination of both of those. Going back to the, LA hotel thing. There was a lot going on. I mean, apparently there were people shooting in the crowd. That's the other thing. Yes, there's the connection. Now, systematic murders. It's like they're really happening very, synchronized. It's like one day, okay, Tuesday, all my assassins, and they go out and bam, naturopaths. Bam, those people who are promoting, alternatives to the pharmaceutical industry. Bam, yeah. Now there's a bam, witnesses to, eyewitnesses in the LA shooting. You know, if they weren't shot then, they were shot now. So that is now starting to smack that this is, an electronic program. It might be deploying, liveware in the form of, perhaps mind-controlled assassins down on the ground, but it's essentially being run from some huge superbrain somewhere under a mountain. Which is not always the best place to be. In a time such as this, when the earth kind of cracks apart, because, you know, a mountain is not that far... Well, okay. So let me think. The earth has a skin. And where it's folded up, it's like a knuckle. That's how mountains are formed. It's like a knuckle in the skin of earth. Because the earth is sitting on broken bits of a hard shell, like you see on the top of a mushroom, like a fairy mushroom. There's a hard shell, and as it grows, it splits apart and little islands are left. That's those little white dots on the back of the Amanita muscaria. The surface of the earth is like that of a mushroom cowl. So, it's fixed in size and it's hard. And then there's the surface layer, that, you know, that we live on top of, like the epidermis of that. When that hard crust, breaks apart, we call that the continental shelf. And when the, when that crust, now if it's too large, like say, the plate that covers, Russia or America, they're basically like, an egg-sized object sitting on top of a tennis ball. Can you see that? That there's going to be a gap underneath it. Because it was originally on a plate that covered, a smaller diameter earth. Now the earth has expanded. There's now a gap underneath them. It's sitting proud. And what then happens is it cracks. And that crack in the middle, that becomes fault lines. And, the earth is expanding and pushing away, the edges of this thing and putting pressure on these cracks that have happened over the years. And eventually they will crack open and start to drift apart. Continental drift isn't something, you know. here's a thing, right? I don't know if you believe in continental drift and tectonic plates. But it's impossible, right? This is why it's impossible. The Earth is on a expansion, right? There's no mechanism for continental drift. But if you just see that the planet is expanding like the skin of a mushroom, then it's obvious and a child can see it. Okay? So, the plates, are really, the shell of a smaller object that is sitting on an expanded object. And obviously they're eventually going to crack and break in the middle and sink. So that, there'll be, two coastlines eventually in the middle of the big plates. And that also goes for Europe and Russia and all those big plates. I mean, Russia is a huge plate. So, what that also means is that underneath are enormous oceans. Just think about that. That underneath the surface of, pieces of the crust, the Earth has a smaller diameter underneath it. It's more shallow. The curve is shallower. So there's a gap made underneath these big plates. So under all the big plates like Africa and Russia, there is entire cavities. And, you know, the secret government know all about that because they have submarines that can travel through these tunnels and even probably make tunnels to go down into these oceans. And they're kind of pristine oceans, and who knows what is down there. Maybe that's where Cthulhu hangs out. So, now, why is that connected? So, GPS, false flags, GPS, what else was I doing? Now, there's a connection between what I was talking, yeah, anyway, I'll keep going. So yeah, there is a sense that there's a kind of AI behind all of these, like when I say, you know, like it's a mass murder, but it's happening not at the same place. It's not like a slaughter. It's like trained assassins. And who knows who is that? You know, who knows who they may be? They could be mind controlled assassins who think they're just ordinary people going to an ordinary job, and in the middle of the night, they receive a phone call. They, you know, they get the old beep, blue, 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 blue Azure, you know, Tangerine 32, and suddenly they're getting dressed and they're going out, and they, you know, they do the Jason Bourne thing and then come back, go to sleep, and they wake up in the morning, they go to work, and you know, they wouldn't know. This is the weird state of our world. What a strange planet to be on, where you never know who's going to turn into Agent Smith at any one time. So, there seems to be some sort of intelligence behind this. Now, AI, artificial intelligence, machine intelligence, or is it just programmed to do what it's told by some other intelligence, which is also programmed to do what it's told by some other intelligence, which is programmed to do what it's told by some other intelligence. All these intelligences, you know, just keeps going. Right. Now, where are we? You were talking. Now, there's a lot of chat in the chat room. Do you guys want to talk? Come in. Tango. You know, Doran. Call in. In the UK, it's 0141-356-4141. 0141-356-4141. And in the United States, in fact, in Nevada, we have a Nevada number. We're really connected with Las Vegas. Well, with Pahrump. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, how would Dave have thought about this? What would Dave, you know, Simon was talking earlier about how hard it is to shoot in a downward direction. Cause, you know, you have to, the, you know, ballistics stuff. Dave would have been very knowledgeable about that. Oh, yeah, there was another thing. Somebody left a comment that there is somebody who's channeling Stephen Paddock. How about that? The deceased spirit of Stephen Paddock. So, yes. Anyway, guys, call in. Yeah. Tango. Nowhere to talk privately. Yeah, I see. Yes. Okay. Yes. That's right. JW's Jehovah. Yeah. Enlil. Not a nice guy. Anyway. Meanwhile. Oh, I thought I was going to have time to talk to him. Yeah. This is my second cup of coffee this evening. And I have to say, it's mighty fine. It's not very strong. I don't make it very strong. It's kind of like a latte. But it's mighty fine. All right. Yeah. Now. Okay. Now, some of you, to change tack very slightly, but it's all connected. It's always connected. Nausea. I've felt nausea for a long time, and it's like, I don't want to go anywhere really, because I don't want to be shaken up too much. And, you know, I mentioned, in a chat message to Liz before, that it feels like I'm seasick on a sea that I can't see or feel. You know, it's like, maybe we're being jiggled about planetary wise, you know, and because we're all on it. We're not noticing it, but there's some sort of jiggle going through it. So what do you think of this? So anyway, if you want to call in, you don't have to be, those two specifically, but, if you have anything to, discuss and, it's always good to get to the truth of something. You know, that there are stories and then there's realities behind the stories and they're not what you think. And yeah. What would Dave have said? What would Dave have said about this Las Vegas shooter? He probably would have known him. Probably trained him. Anyway, yes. Yeah. Oh. Oh yeah, but you see, Pat, you know, you have some interesting experiences and you know, they're all there in the chat room. Yeah. Anyway. Oh yes. Here we are. We have. Let me just grab my, where's my mouse gone? Hello mouse. Where are you? What's it doing over there? There we are. Hello.
Yeah, but you see.
There you go. You've turned it off now. Now speak to me. Hello.
Oh, hi, JP.
Hello. Who's that?
This is Cheyenne, Arizona.
Cheyenne, Arizona. Is it Cheyenne from a long, long time ago? Have you called in before?
From probably a long time ago. I've been working too hard.
And we have Deb. Excellent. Let's see if you can both. This might or might not. No, it didn't. Damn it. Right. Okay. All right. Let's see. Skype is not that good. And, whoop, nope. I've got
two. You hung me out to dry.
Merge. Oh, there's merge calls. Oh, no. Hang on. Let me try. Oh, hang on. Let me try calling, the Skype caller. Skype has changed and we can't always do this. Actually, I'll bring in Deb later. Let's talk to you first. Cheyenne, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. You want me to call in on Skype? I can do that.
Skype is, I don't know what's wrong with Skype, but it's gone completely bananas.
I've heard it went off the rails.
It's gone, I don't know. It's gone postal. You know,
it's gone post.
Instead of helping everybody, it's hurting everybody. And
it's gone bonkers.
Like everything, you know, and is it to do with their programming staff? Have they, you know, they've taken the Kool-Aid or, or what? Who knows? Who knows?
So what is up with that?
What's up with that?
Things were easier. Yeah, things were easier when we were programming in COBOL and happened to, you know, use WYSIWYG. What happened to computers?
Yeah, things used to work.
They were supposed to get easier.
Yeah, exactly.
We used to do DOS commands, remember?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost simpler because at least it does what you tell it to
do. It does what you tell it to do, and it won't do what you don't tell it to. Yes.
Or think for you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, that, you know, and then we had the concept of what they call a daemon. D-A-E-M-O-N.
A-E-M-O-N. Yeah. We still have that, by the way.
Yeah. Well, of course. You know, that's, and then they become now bots. And viruses and all sorts of automated process. For instance, there is a daemon that is running our show, that is running the radio station. It's called Airtime, and it runs completely automatically and will continue to do so even if I were to die. I'd probably stop after a few months because I won't have paid the rent. But
it would definitely come to a screeching halt at some point.
Yeah.
To have some juice. Electricity and
Cheyenne, what's been grinding your coffee?
I'm starting to wonder, is there a fluctuation in the geoelectrical field? Is there, you know, I mean,
I can tell you that
watching
that,
the fireballs coming in over our rooftops is enough to make you feel a little
all right,
anxious.
So you're in Arizona, right? Yeah.
Arizona.
Yeah. Yes. You're seeing meteors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For years, but now it's just kind of off the charts.
And are they hitting ground yet?
I have been looking at reports that get posted when people actually do put that out there. We've always been able to walk through the valleys around my mountain and pick up meteors. It's kind of an active area in the desert. It's an easy place to pick them up. Are there new ones hitting the ground? The ones that have been coming in lately soar across very low, extremely high speed in a way that I've just never seen before. And then they kind of like, they look like they're going to hit Canada. You know, they're coming in really low and arcing really super fast. Mm. So I don't see that they're hitting right here. But I know NASA recorded a big boom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was September of one that broke up over Arizona. But it luckily didn't hit my rooftop.
Do you remember I was saying that the American plate is higher than the Earth, you know, because it's a smaller radius. It's like a piece of eggshell on top of a tennis ball.
You see,
in terms of the radius of what, so it stands to reason that it would be kind of stand up a bit more, and
it stands up a bit. Yeah.
And you're right in the middle of the bit where it's that, you know, its butt sticking out, as it were.
Well, yeah, and I'm at, you know, if you want to trust any of our technology, I'm at almost a mile high. My mountain goes up to 6,000 feet. I don't know what that is in kilometers. My elevation right here where my roof is about 4,800 feet. So I don't know, you know, I'm out in the middle of nowhere. Fairly isolated in the middle of the desert, fairly central, to this, you know, almost the middle of the state, but towards the west slightly. And so I'm away from the lights of Phoenix. If I climb one of our peaks, I can see Scottsdale on a clear day. I can see several thousand feet, down into the valley from a far distance, but I'm up above all of that. So I think I have a really nice view of what's going on in the skies. And I've always seen a lot of activity here, but Yeah, the fireballs, and they're being reported all over the globe. Statistically, I think they've increased quite a bit.
Yeah,
based
well,
on what I'm seeing.
So that's because we're going through a dirty area of space. dirty.
Well, or our shields are down. I mean, in a way, we're on spaceship Earth, right?
Supposedly. So, and who's got the control?
Yeah. that's a good question.
And, you know,
That's a really good question.
How long have the shields been down for, and when will they come back online? I want them now.
Well, how much farther down are they going to go down?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure. You know, where are we in the cycle? That's what we've been kept from knowing, right? That there are cycles, and whatever the cycle is, we're somewhere in that cycle, and we're either on the front end of something that could get wilder, or, you know, where are we? Where are we on the cosmic cycles
could
of man and the planet?
I just thought, you know, they have a film of going through Saturn's rings, and you hear this kind of as it goes through. It's quite nice, quite pleasant.
Mm.
A white noise sound. Could it be that we are going through such a thing with our solar system, that the sun is penetrating something on a larger, grander scale, just like the rings of Saturn, to some planetary body? Or stellar body, let's put it on.
There's some star messages on that from some people that talk to folks. You know that scene in Mothman Prophecies, the movie based on Mothman Prophecies, loosely based on it, but there's a guy standing in the middle of that mess that I forget his character in the movie, but he says, if you're standing on top of a high-rise building in a downtown urban area, you can see a car wreck coming a lot sooner. So if we're to trust anybody, you know, of our star family, and I think there are star members we can trust, they've been giving us messages that we are going through a sector of space that the density is different. In other words, space is not just this empty vacuum. Obviously it isn't. I mean, anybody that's seen a meteor.
It's lumpy.
It's lumpy.
Space is lumpy and dusty. Yes.
It's more like an ocean.
Yeah. And there's,
there's things in it.
Driftwood and creatures and amoebas and it's scale. You see, what we also don't realize or don't often consider is that there is a scale to everything. You know, we see all the stars in the sky and they all seem to be like little dots. But when you study them a little bit, you see that, oh, hang on, this one's 37 million light years away and this one's 24 light years away. And yet they seem to be the same brightness, but that one that's millions of light years away is unbelievably huge and incredibly bright compared with the one that's much closer. But to us, you know, it's perspective.
Yeah, and it depends on if you look at the stars like an astrophysicist or if you look at the stars the way a Native American elder would. You get two different perspectives of that reality. I mean, you know, are you going to listen to Carl Sagan or are you going to listen to Grandpa? So Grandpa would say, one of those stars is you, JP. we come from it and we go back to it. So,
well, yeah, again, okay,
that'll
so,
get in your head a little bit.
Well, I said at the beginning of the program that I'd built this fire and, I haven't built it. It's, you know, we've been using it for quite a couple of years now, but, I've really gotten seriously into it recently, mainly because I've got a large amount of firewood that is, you know, less convenient to burn in the stove. I've got loads of, what are they? They're the staves from barrels and they're made of oak and they burn really nicely and they burn really nicely in the rocket stove. Do you know what a rocket stove is?
I've seen them. I don't have one, but I've seen them.
Those of you who have access.
I have an earth stove. Yeah, I have an earth stove I picked up at a garage sale. That's what I use. But I don't have a rocket stove, but I looked at them. They're really awesome.
Well, those of you with access to YouTube, can go to Studio 9 Jam, my channel that I publish everything on, and go all the way back. There's a thing called making a rocket stove from recycled bits. Anyway, I've been using it, but this time I put, with the prompting of my friend Dean, he said, why don't you take this piece of stainless steel tubing and stick it on the top as a chimney? Boy, does that work. It's brilliant.
So you extended the chimney up?
Yeah, yeah. So it didn't have a chimney. It just had a little stump, you know. So we actually put something on the stump, and then I could put some bricks around it to keep the keep it in place. And then dropped entire whiskey barrel staves down in to the bottom of the thing. It then literally rockets. I'll publish some on my Facebook page. I've got a few photos. But basically, imagine a 6-foot blowtorch. It's got this flame that's about, it's just like one of these little kind of like, you know, one of those little blowtorches like that. And, except it's scaled up, that it's now 6 feet long. And, it runs on whiskey barrel staves. It's spectacular. And the colors that come from it, because of all the different, pigments and alcohol and the wood itself, there's all these different colors. There's pinks and purples and it's beautiful. And then, you know, so there I am sitting with my stove and I'm looking up at the stars and it's a beautiful star. And I was thinking about these stars. And in the way that we sun gaze, I don't know, it's, you know, why did I think of it before? But in the way that we sun gaze and receive information from the sun is that we can stargaze. Stargazing, yeah, people talk about stargazing, okay. So that we can stargaze and receive information from other stars, including stars that we may have some connection with. So I've been, yes, indeed, I've been looking at Taygeta. I've been looking at Alcyone. I've been looking at Vega. I did some really long stargazing to Vega the other day, you know. And it's funny, you don't blink. Like when you sungaze, you don't blink. It just... you open your eyes and the information, whatever it is, it goes into a subconscious place, but,
it does. It feels like it pierces you.
Yeah.
The light. It feels like it literally, like if you gaze intently on a star that's attracted your attention more than any other, it'll feel like it literally is like a laser piercing you. At some point, it's almost too much. It's almost, I always close my eyes at that point. I can't,
it's food.
It becomes
if you
very
can eat
personal.
It. Yes, absolutely. Well, it's like you just said, every, you know, if you find which star is yours, which is your, you know, all right, so let's just break it down a bit more. You were absolutely right about what Grandfather says. It's, a star is you because that's what a soul is. Soul, get it? Solar, get it? Does anybody get this?
It.
Soul, solar.
Yeah, yeah. The language is the language.
Yeah, we're just saying it in plain
words that we're
in plain hearing.
Spelling with spelling with the words.
So, where were we?
Casting spells.
Yeah, casting spells or uncasting spells. You know, break.
Or uncasting spells. Yeah. I recently had to do some of that. I found myself doing some revocation and then some new evocation based on challenges in my life. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me of that. Thank you.
Remind. Put your mind back. Anyway, no, just kidding. there we go. There's the picture. Let's see if I...
Careful. Now, you can fall off the rail.
Can I drag that onto this? No, that's not going to work. Let me just see. I'm need to edit this and then put it in the edit with the paint shop. I'll be with you in a second. Yeah. So, oh yeah, there it is. A brilliant picture of the rocket stove. And I can't show it to you because you're on the telephone, but I'm going to put it in the chat room and, so that people can, see what I'm talking about. It's a wonderful little thing. And, you see, one of the reasons that I'm kind of promoting it is because it has a, number one, it's a way of recycling materials. Number two, it burns cleanly. which means that there's no it burns everything that is burnable all the way up. You know, there's no wastage. Because this is it's like almost like the motor of a smaller of a bigger house system. And again, you know, rocketing stove. You'll see it. I mean, it's a very, very spectacular. Can you see the chat room where you are, Cheyenne?
Oh, let me pop in. I'll mute my sound first so I don't pull the player.
Yeah. So, if you can get, you can go to the chat room. If you have a separate player, you can go to the, Wolf Spirit Radio chatango.com. And so you can open the page separately. Which is what I usually do, because I can't have the page open. So now, what am I looking for? I'm looking for rocketing stove. There we go. 2 megs. Blimey.
It's Wolf Spirit Radio Chat Tango.
What? Wolf Spirit Radio Chat dot chatango.com. So while I'm doing that, yes, rocket stoves are. So I'm just going to be. I'm just, hopefully by the time my. I'm talking about it. It should arrive in the chat room. But yes, so we all need to learn how to make a stove to keep ourselves warm because, you know, there's a lot of hurricanes and natural disasters. And, you know, we're talking about this all the time. So one of the superpowers that we as humans need to know is how to make fire. And it's the... And how to efficiently use fire, because this is such a, it's kind of a new twist on an ancient thing, but it's the alchemy of using air and fire together, basically you create a small furnace without any fans, without any pumps or anything like that. And it gets very hot. So you'll see in the chat, you know, when I placed it in the chat room, what I'm talking about. It's, and, you can see the size of the flame that is coming out the top. Yes. So anyway, how to make a fire. Now, I saw a YouTube video also about the, I think it's called the Dakota Fire Pit, which now, from my interaction with Tolek, he says that the Dakota people are from planet Dakota in the Taygeta system, in the Pleiades.
Correct.
In the Taurus.
My brother.
Your brother.
Yeah, Tolek's my brother.
Tolek's your brother.
He's in the Pacific Rim. Chris, I'm sorry,
yep.
JP.
Yep.
Tolek is in Australia, down under right now.
He is having a great time.
Yes. Hello, if you're listening in today.
Oh yeah, hey Tolek.
Hello, brother Tolek and sister Adana.
So, the technology.
So you're looking at a fire pit where you dig.
You dig two
either
holes,
a square or a circle in the earth, and then you put a hole.
You,
next to it.
Yeah. You make a tunnel. You basically make an inlet. You dig two pits. Now, one of the reasons is that, if your fire is in the pit, it can't be seen. It can be completely hidden. And if your fire doesn't make smoke using the bub, you see, a fire is very inefficient if it's drawing, because if it's in a pit of some kind, it's trying to draw the air from the outside, and where's it got to draw it? But it's the only orifice that is gushing the other way. So it's not going to be fed right. This is going to smoke, because smoke is unburnt fuel. So if you, you dig your hole down, then you dig another hole just as deep, and then, you join them with a little tunnel. You then have, a way of feeding the fire from the bottom, which is what's going on in this picture, the rocket stove. There we go. That's going to go in the chat, and people will be able to see what I was talking about. It is... go ahead.
They have a hole trench. They have what they call a fire hole trench or a stealth fire, too.
Yeah.
So a stealth fire would be the same idea. And if you have a bent pipe, like an old pipe stove or something that's bent, you can feed the fire from one side. You bury that in the ground.
Yes. Yeah, you can basically make one of these. It's the idea is you mix the air and the wood in a, in a, an efficient manner. And, what happens really is that the wood is turned to gas. And then the flame is elsewhere. You see the, if you look at this, this sprocket stove picture, you see the flame is coming out the top. It's actually burning the gas that's being produced by heating the wood at the bottom, making
the fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My uncle built his own indoor, stove that was smokeless. He made it out of like, you know, 60 gallon
scraps and bits of people. Yeah.
It's barrel,
this is the same.
But I can't, you know, I don't know what he did inside. It was all welded and sealed, you know, of course, by the time I saw it. It was pretty amazing. It would roast you out of the house.
Yeah. Well, mainly
and it didn't create any smoke.
A two stage. It's always this two stage thing that you're heating the wood really, really hot to squeeze the gas out of it, almost vaporizing the wood. And then you're burning the gas elsewhere. Now, you see, those of you who can see this picture, you've got this long tube. Now, if that tube were to be bent down the way and then run, you can run this as long as you like. You know, you can make a great big long tunnel that then ends up in a chimney that is, you know, a few feet up in the air. But by then, what comes out of that chimney is quite cool because you can then absorb the heat that it's creating, that it's making by making some you can pack clay around it, for instance, and make seats that you can sit on, obviously, or you could put a radiator system or you know, use the heat in some way, a heat exchange to make hot water. You can do all of those things, and that's probably what your uncle did. Another stage is that instead of where the silver tube is, you have a small, pipe like I've got standing next to it. And then that pipe goes into a bigger oil drum. And then you draw the chimney off the bottom of the oil drum. And so what that means is the oil drum will, absorb a lot of the heat. You can have a hot plate that is the top of the drum and, it will radiate the heat. And if he built it into the wall using clay, that will, that clay will then absorb the heat as thermal mass. That's the beauty of it, because the house stays warm because you're actually heating the walls of the house. Fabulous ideas. And it really, really, really efficient. You know, you can run it.
Looking at your situation here. You had two fires going, I guess, when you took this photo, but
yes. Yes. Yeah, so
that's a lot of heat. It's like, this is a reason they call it a rocket stove.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't last that long. It's a bit like a kind of, you know, it was one of these, it's short on stamina, but high on performance. If you look down on the bottom right, you'll see what fuel I'm using, which is it's a single stave. It's black because it's got carbon on the inside. You can see another stave that's sitting on the open fire. Right. So the open fire, now you can't really see where it is, but that's the one that I installed the underground pipe to.
To stoke. From, you know, get air in.
Yeah,
yeah,
so that's you know, these, I'm just experimenting. This is the joy of having a bit of land to play with. And
playing around with the, you know, I'm terribly fascinated with the clay stoves that people cook their food in.
Mm.
I get the pleasure of watching the Hopi make tiki bread every year at the festival. And it's amazing, JP.
Tell me about the fires that they make. Do they do this kind of technique, the fire pit?
Well,
because this would make a great little fire for cooking things.
The Hopi do in their homes. I haven't been to their homes, but I watched them at the festival. The tiki woman, and sometimes it's a different woman, you know, different times that you arrive there. She makes the clay, and it's a glazed clay, handmade. Rectangle, larger than a cast iron griddle, I would say 30 inches wide, 18 to 22 inches deep, and then inside is the fire. So it's like a rectangular vessel with two chambers, and the fire's underneath. The coal or whatever they're using. I think they use coal in that. They also use something they call, and I found this out from a friend I met recently. They use something, it's a stone that is flammable. It's an early stage of coal, but it's actually it's considered a rock. Anyway, they put the coal or the, I can't remember, but they put the coal inside and she makes an offering every morning to the fire god. And so she won't get burned. And I think that the top of that surface, they told me one time, one of the women's husband talked for a long time with me. I think it's over 1,000 degrees. They hand grind the blue corn. It's a sacred corn. They hand grind it until it's super ultra fine on a natural stone. Grinding stone. And then they mix it with water and make a super dry paste. It's watery enough that they dip their fingers in the batter and then they smear it on this 1,000 or 1,400 degree ceramic stone with their bare hands. And it dries the bread, it's just a super thin tortilla. Think of it that way, but it's long. It's rectangular. And then they roll it while it's still hot on the fire. And it's rolled up. If you look up tiki bread, I think it's T-I-K-I to see images. But they do this with their bare hands. And they don't get burned. It's amazing. And we get to watch them do this here in Arizona.
It's all about timing. I bet they do it really slick. I mean,
No, it's too complicated.
Cause, you know, to you can touch hot things as long as, cause I was doing this with another one of my thoughts, though, cause I was cleaning my little griddle. Cause you can,
about a moist, wet batter. I don't care how fast you are, you're gonna get steam coming off of that, and steam burns.
It's gonna boil quick, yeah.
It's so thin. You've got to look up tiki bread. It's as thin as paper. It's thinner than parchment paper. Does that help visualize it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not like a corn tortilla that of South America. This is ultra thin. Super fine. It's thinner than parchment. So it literally looks like you can see through it. That's how thin it is. And then they fold and roll it. So there are images on YouTube. If you look up Hopi Tiki, T-I-K-I, it's just fascinating to go and watch. Just amazing. But I think at the Hopi Festival, they use propane fire so that they don't have to work with the hot coals there in the, you know, the middle of it's on the outer edge of Flagstaff, Arizona, mm-hmm. where they do this.
You know, what's really, you know, to sit with fire, you have to feed it regularly. And you have to kind of give it mind or it will run out. You know, and I live with a stove, with a wood burning stove, and it'll only burn for an hour before you have to refill it. And when you,
well, it depends,
when you do.
Yeah, it depends on the stove and the fuel. Mm. Yeah, it depends on the stove and the
fuel.
Well,
if I use wood, if I use coal, it will burn longer. It will burn for a few hours.
Yeah, I use wood. I have a technique, but I think that the, what you were talking about, having the mind of, you know, making, there's an alchemy whether a human being is conscious of it or not. And just to walk in the kitchen, I don't have an electric stove. I won't live in a house with an electric stove. Just to walk in and turn on the top of an electric stove doesn't work for me. There's an exchange, and it's almost hypnotic to be able to sit in the morning while the coffee is in the French press brewing and stare at the, you know, the flames in the wood burning stove. There is an hypnotic exchange with the alchemy and the elements. You've got air, water. You know, there's water in the tree. The tree is about water. Trees are always about water and lightning. That's the medicine for me. There's a lot of medicine in a tree. Medicine meaning power from the native terminology. We're not talking Western medicine. We're talking power. Energetic alchemy. There's the water from the tree, the lightning, the electricity, and then you've got the connection with the earth in the tree. So you've got a lot of medicine in the tree, and then you've got the flame, you've got air, because you have to have air for fire. And so all the elements come together. It's absolutely magical to me. And I just can't imagine not living in this house with a wood burning stove. We don't use or have central air where I live. And I love it. I just love it. It's, but I would love to build a clay oven outside. I've just been studying that for years. I don't know that it'll ever happen, but I would love to have an old fashioned clay oven outside to bake in.
Shame.
Cook in.
Let's take a quick break, and I'm going to play some Santana, just because. Europa.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, indeed you are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. This is JP, and I'm here talking with Cheyenne from Arizona. And I'll bring Debs in a little while, if Skype will have it. Because you're coming in over the telephone, and she's coming in over Skype, and apparently nobody's allowed to talk to each other anymore. Anyway, the next picture I wanted to post in the chat room was the other stove, which is the fireplace. I've been having, you know, sitting, creating new things for me to do in the future. And so I've got this great big square thing made with bricks, and it's all, you know, it's a little bit full of ash. So I was going to, you know, stuff the ash all over the garden, and because apparently ash plus chicken poop makes a good kind of thing, and I've got plenty of both. So this is all very good. So, here's the other, I just want to post the other stove, or here's the fireplace. And if you look at this, this picture, you can see that there's a little grating, a little grill, just below where the wood is burning. And that's, there's an air intake, there's a tube that comes up underneath the ground, that has, that supplies air into this little thing. I'm going to make the fire a lot tighter around the fire now, where the fire is, because it's just far too big. And so, what I want to do really is to make a top-loading rocket stove, making it out of bricks, and essentially make a kind of a brick version of the larger one. And maybe also using the heat in some other way, like I was saying, you know, by sending it, like your uncle's doing, sending the heat around the house and warming the whole thing. Now, Cheyenne, are you still there?
I am.
Oh, fabulous. Excellent. So, actually, I'm thinking maybe I could try and bring Deb in. Can I call you back in a second?
Oh. I can't add much to the stove and fire connection, though.
Well, anyway, we'll talk about stuff in a minute, but I just wanted to bring you back into the conversation there, Deb. Welcome to Ever Beyond. Nice to have you back.
I know, I missed you.
Exile. Well, you know, we just keep going. We just keep going.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, what I was saying is that we all really need to know this stuff that I'm learning at the age of 56. We should know it as teenagers. We should know how fires work.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying it with my son. You know, he doesn't get it. You know, just turn on the electric, Dad. You know. No. Whoops. Hang on. Let me call her again. So I think it's a very important skill to have as a human being, male, female, whatever, Boy Scout, Girl Scout, non-Scout, let's keep away from the Scoutmaster. What's going on, Deb? What would you like to add?
What isn't going on? I know when you started, I'm interested in the energetic because I don't know about you. It's been bizarre, and it just gets more bizarre.
Does it feel to you like you're you're on a boat that is invisible on an invisible rough sea?
Oh, it's so weird. Like, I don't have a weak stomach. I was nauseous a couple days ago, and another one of my girlfriends was too. She even went to the doctor, and I think it was energetic maybe. I've been getting lots of nose things like allergy, which I don't usually get. Then the other night I woke up and I was for sure, and I wish I wrote it down. You always tell me to write it down and I don't. I woke up saying, are we being attacked with some kind of energy? And I wonder if that's around when the fires were happening. So there's definitely, I don't know, man. I've never gone through anything like this. So I'm just writing it out, watching it, feeling it, passing it through me, trying to stay in my heart.
Yeah, I think that's basically the thing. Try and be kind, even though everything around you means you're having to be in a kind of them or us situation. But to try and find, you know, how can them and us become just us? You know, and we all see, you know, I'm just leaning this way, you're leaning that way, and we're making the whole thing balanced. I don't know. it sounds great if I can only walk that talk, you know.
I know, I'm alone a lot. I stay like more hermit than ever, and I know we're supposed to be moving out of separation. So I'm trying to connect with the whole on an energetic level, but I surely don't leave the house a lot lately.
Yeah, I think this whole we're all connected thing is very much like you got to start with your own highest inner self.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you can be clean. Because all the other ones are tainted with personality or what we call ego. And it's out for itself and it's a little villain. And that's what we, you know, it's like we're a good mother with a bad kid. It's like, that's the relationship between the soul and the personality, you know, it's trying to do us good, but you know, and it has to kind of resign to it. The soul resigns to itself. Oh God, look what I have to deal with. You know.
Oh, you know, have you noticed this? Or maybe it's just me, or maybe it's a reflection of me. I don't know what's going on. But when I go out periodically or interact, I mean, everything's fine, but I'm seeing a lot of people, or what it's appearing to me is very habitual patterns of poor me, whining, and anger. And I can feel it. From their field, I don't even have to listen to the words. I actually feel it. So now what I've been trying to practice doing
which I just started. I used to do it with people that I was upset with, and when I was by myself, and I would do this thing where I would beam love from my heart at them no matter what happened with them, just, you know, for myself. But I've been trying to do that now in the presence when that's happening. And then I notice they pause and they just kind of look at me weird because I don't know what my expression is, but I'm not judging, but I'm just in somehow just feel they don't realize maybe the energy they're carrying. It must be harder on them than it even is on me. So I'm just trying to open the heart and send, you know, just hold the love and actually kind of send it to them like I was hugging them. I don't know if that's good or right or wrong, but that's what I've been being told to do lately. And they do seem to calm down when I do that. And they don't know what I'm doing, you know, or what's going on. But
everybody's a child. Everybody's inner child is broken. That's what living on Earth is like. And, you know, this is what all the masters say, you know, there's that you connect with your child and you connect with the universe because that's how they communicate, you know, be as children.
Well, maybe you're coming up and out right now, just like with the planet, just like everything and the energy to free that up somehow. I would hope on the highest level, I like to think. You know, it's always for the best. It's been a fascinating ride.
Well, you know, I think like, you know, like Liz was saying earlier on, you know, we expand and contract. And I was thinking, well, yes, kind of like a sponge expands and contracts. You know, we soak up juice. And somewhere else, we're squeezed out. And then we go into another place and we soak up more juice and then we're squeezed out.
Okay.
So that, you know, you could say that the meditation was the squeezing out, and going into the world is the soaking up the juice.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? It's literally mopping up. Mopping up the glamour of the world. Yeah, that's what this is. And it's a sacrifice. It's a pain in the ass. And that's what we volunteered to do. So why are we complaining? Because it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like I'm getting a little more used to it now, but I'm not sure if that's a good thing either. But at least it's not disturbing me as much as when I first really started noticing it. I'm like, wow. But yeah. Also feeling a void, but that could be my own personal situations, but I feel like I'm coming out of that, but I don't know what I'm waiting for. It feels like something's coming, but I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what I'm going to do.
Waiting for the event.
Is that what it is?
It's waiting for the event. I'm going to give you a number.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to give you a date.
Okay.
It's number 8.
November 8th?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. Is that what I'm waiting for?
I think there's an astrological condition that is going on until then. And of course it would be the natural end of this kind of the build up.
Ah, I'll be so grateful. Oh, is that when, Saturn, something's leaving something then?
Something's leaving something. I think Jupiter's entering Scorpio or something like that.
Yeah, that already happened. And now something's leaving something. Yeah. I can't remember either. I'd have to look
it
up.
So anyway, we got one of those events going on then. You know, like Simon was saying as well, they can stretch the events out. They can, you know, kind of move the feast a little bit. Keep things on hold for a certain amount of time. So welcome back, Cheyenne.
Thank you.
Back.
Oh, well.
So now
I wanted to up the ante on that one. I would agree that it's challenging right now. There's this drive in the energy to connect with community.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I'm in community, there's a repulsion and I want to run and duck back into my monastery.
People are horrible, aren't they?
Got it.
Bloody people. If only humanity was, you know, I love humanity. It's just people I can't stand.
There you go.
It's an old
quote.
There
you go.
But that's the thing, you know, cause we're still triggered. We still get triggered all the time. And I think the aim for whatever group of humans are going to emerge from this is to be untriggerable empaths. Doesn't that sound great? Wouldn't you love to be an untriggerable empath? It's like being a kind of super soldier, but like natural and clean.
Well, but I think that's what the energy is doing, JP. It's bringing deeper layers, like within the onion skin of our own selves. And some of the stuff we're processing is ancestral. It's previous lifetimes, if you want to look at it that way. It's community. And a lot of women are getting hit really hard that are empathic and healing and nurturing in their nature, because a lot of guys have checked out and they're not doing the emotional party at all. And so the women are telling me stories about how they're getting hit like with twice as much energy and emotion that's not their own, because now the women are processing emotions. I'm not blaming men. I'm just saying this is a story I keep hearing from other women about them taking, you know, extra depths of emotions that they're processing beyond what would be reasonable for their own experiences.
You know what? And I feel it's like the unconscious, because when I go out, it's a lot of what I'm feeling. They're not aware. They're feeling it, but they don't know it's like this habitual thing that's coming up. And I can see it and feel it. So I just go into that presence, or I try to just be present with it and not be triggered. But I definitely feel it.
Yeah.
It's wrong right now. But you're right about us. I don't know, maybe all empaths, but I know it's been the last few weeks. I mean, it's been a bumpy year as it is, but the last, let's say month, maybe. Yeah, it's been, I've never felt anything like it.
Well, there were a couple of concepts I wanted to respond to, if I could, Deb. And one of them has to do with something JP and I were, you know, being silly about computer technology earlier, but it's a wonderful metaphor. There's something in computer technology called subroutines.
Okay.
Now, if you think of subroutines, they help drive, you know, some of them are good, some of them are bad. They help drive, for instance, the video card or a printer interface, peripherals. You know, they're happening, but you don't see anything blinking on your screen and you don't even realize it's there. It's just doing its job. Sometimes it's not a good job. You know, there could be malware that's a subroutine. But, you know, they're there. So our subconscious, and if we go to the Bruce Lipton teachings, that is now in the human consciousness, not everybody's conscious of it, but a lot of us are conscious of what Bruce has been putting out in the world. And he's on a world tour putting this information out there, that from 0 to 7, the left and right hemispheres are perfectly synchronized. Somewhere around 7, this gets turned off. But the left and right are perfectly synchronized and you're in a theta state. What does that mean? You're like a brand new computer that hasn't had any software loaded on it yet. And you're just downloading everything with no firewalls. So, you know, what is the world? How do I speak? How do I interact? How do I express my pain, et cetera, et cetera. And you're just taking in all this information with absolutely no filters from the world around you and other people. And those subroutines then are triggered, quote, end quote, and they take over, and they're what you're operating from when you're thinking as an adult. We're no longer in theta state. Theta state's like hypnosis.
Right.
So in early childhood, pre-speech through about 7, you're in a hypnotic state and you're just a sponge
like
downloading all these subroutines that take over,
right? Now. Everybody's they're not sub anymore, okay?
Well,
To them,
the science shows 78% of them are self-defeating.
Yeah.
78% of those subroutines are self-defeating. But what happens when you're trying to figure out how to pay the electric bill and to fix that leaky gasket in the car and to, you know, get that rocket stove running the way you want? You're thinking. So when you're thinking, who's running the reality show around you? Those subroutines. And 75% of those are self-defeating. So one of the things we're doing as a community is we're tapping in and working on that split consciousness. And so a lot of the emotions and a lot of the bad boundaries or boundary violations inside of ourselves and with others are part of those subroutines. So we're looking at better and better ways to access and rewrite those subroutines.
Right.
Flush them out, because 75, 78% of them are self-defeating. So that's going on. As yep. if enough wasn't going on. Yeah. So when we talk about being triggered, that's what we're being triggered. You know, you ever think back to high school or college and you're thinking about a girlfriend or a boyfriend and that you knew, like, buddies you hung out with, and you thought, you know, sitting at the dinner table with them all the time, one of your neighbor kids or something, you thought, wow, you're just like your mom, or wow, you're just like your dad. And that's when your friend goes off on you. Because they don't see that, right? They don't see that they're running the subroutines of their family member. So
if you're in alpha or theta, because I spend a lot of time in that zone anymore, you know, and when I go out, I'm not worrying about paying the bills right now, or I don't have a TV. I'm not thinking, because of course I am, but I'm not worrying on survival right at the moment. So maybe, and a lot of the people, you're right, that I interact with that are doing that are really running fast. Like, their mind's running fast, they're talking fast, they're still in the work field, they've got the TV running, they've just got a lot of things going. So then those sub, whatever they were, things are coming up more, and they're just not aware of it, but somehow.
Well, and there's the perception management programs too running, which to me are like another set of protocols that are running. And so a lot of people are so entrenched in focusing on drinking the Kool-Aid, I'll call it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all they think and talk about, I guess.
Well, maybe they just, you know, so many people don't know that they can think and talk about something else. In other words, the real challenge is imagination, because what's real is our imagination. So if we take back hold of
our creation
and putting our I'll call it Merkava energy, taking back control of it and stop deferring to authority figures. And start to create, and we're really, you know, to me, if you want to think of things as a battlefield, we're in a battlefield for consciousness. And you can interchange consciousness with the term spirituality or spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm in charge of my imagination and what I'm creating, it doesn't leave any room for the subroutines to run it.
Right.
So in fear and doubt, people turn off their own
creativity or imagining what they want to create. A lot of people,
they start putting their energy in somebody else's reality of the world instead of their own, their own creation. Yeah.
Good. Very good point. What's your name again? I'm sorry.
Cheyenne.
That's excellent. Thank you.
What do you think, JP?
Yeah, we lost you.
Meanwhile,
he's probably making tea. I'm here. JP.
I just transferred the tea to the desk stove. I've got these two little baby stoves, right? Made with you have a little candle and you have a platform. The nice one here is made of cast iron. The one over there is made of pressed steel. And there's a platform that keeps your cup sitting above the little candle. That's why they're called tea lights, because they keep your tea warm. And it's delightful, and it keeps my tea warm throughout the show, or throughout 1 hour of the show. There's cycles again, you know. Each candle lasts 4 hours, so that's two shows. And I do four shows, so that's a two candle evening. I've ordered some 8 hour candles that'll do the whole thing in one go. So I don't have to keep replacing the candles halfway through the show. They're concerns that I have.
There you go.
There are cycles and concerns, you know. I've got to make sure I've got enough, oak barrels. Oh, they're fabulous. I got some new ones in yesterday. And I shifted 2 tons of them.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm not the fittest man in the universe. And I'm quite amazed that I haven't ended up with severe backache. But I think I managed to actually survive it by breathing properly. So, all is good on the, I've got lots of fuel. And, as long as I've got enough, power sores, I can cut the thing. I've had an idea. I've got an invention coming, which is a thing that will cut, you just drop the barrel lid into and there's a power saw that is placed, in a safety position so that I don't, you know, you don't put your fingers into it. That's happened. So I just drop the thing. The idea is you drop the thing in and it falls out split. So that's the idea anyway. And then you can break the other bits apart. In some ways it's like sacrilege. I've got these beautifully made, you know, these things made 100 years ago, but by skilled joiners and carpenters. I mean, the top carpenters are the guys who can bend wood and cause wood to do things that wood's not naturally meant to do, is like hold liquids for 100 years. You know, it's the great, it's, you know, one of these human skills. Now there would be a skill to have. Cooperage. But anyway, we'll leave that to the coopers for the moment. And make do with clay. Making, I think, you know, this show is kind of about this, how the elements are moving through my week and how they're moving through everybody's week. And fire and air and water are moving at high rates, high speeds this week. You know, when you look in terms of fire in California, in hurricanes, this has been going on for about a month now. It's been insane.
Yep.
Never happened.
I think, I heard that there had been 80 lightning strikes in San Francisco.
Wow.
In some short period of time. And I have to say, from the monsoons and elements moving quickly, I will give testimony that one of the monsoons at my house, we dropped almost 4 inches of water, and that's just what went inside the gauge in less than 30 minutes. And I know that's not what Turkey saw. I mean, I understand that there's much more extreme situations, but yeah, just looking at the hurricanes alone and the craziness with sinkholes. The earth is the other element that's moving, JP. Yeah. I don't know if anybody's looked, but the sinkholes and the earth opening up, and new continents coming up out of the Pacific and, giant sections of land collapsing in.
Exactly. The earth is expanding.
It's also moving. It's not just the water and the fire.
The earth is expanding and growing.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You know, there's planets like Saturn and Jupiter and Venus. They glow kind of a little more than just reflective. Yeah. And in the esoteric books, they call them sacred planets. These ones that have got like really thick cloud layers that kind of seem to glow from the inside. And, I believe that the earth is in a condition of going from one, you know, the Mars, Mercury-like, lumps of rock to a flourishing kind of, cloud system. What do you think about that?
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Ray. Good evening, Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Speak to us, Ray. Unmute your mic.
Somebody else is here too. Stone Meta?
Yeah, that's Shane.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
There you go. No problem. This is Skype. It's unpredictable. All right, Ray, we know you're on the call. We'll try and tune it. Can somebody channel Ray while he's...
So they're glowing from the inside because they have more stuff in their atmosphere, or explain that again.
Because they're stars, all right? Now, okay. Okay, so let's take it all the way. Let's talk about the star thing, right? Okay, during Audrey Ewis's broadcast, he said he uses a meditation that everybody on Pleiades uses this meditation. And it seems to be a galactic meditation because I don't know if Carlin's talking about the same thing, whether it's taught universally, but basically the basic meditation is to meditate of a star at your heart. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what happens when you evolve and evolve and evolve and eventually you become a planet and you still have a star at your heart? There'll come a point when the star, exceeds the size, because you've been concentrating on growing a star at your heart, it exceeds the size where it ceases to be invisible and suddenly becomes visible, and it causes the clouds to glow around the world like a kind of like the northern lights, but everywhere. You're seeing the radiation of the star inside the rock, which the rock is expanding because it's more like a mushroom.
So then the ones you don't see glow, they have not expanded their star, or they have no star? Or what would that
be? Their star is still small.
An infant. A little.
Yeah, it's not development.
Star. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, it might be that Jupiter is no bigger inside. Jupiter's covered by clouds. Where's the land? It might be well small, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. Oh, Ray's disappeared again. Let's see bring him in.
There he is.
There he is. There you go. Governor, what you doing? What you up to? What's the apple? Ray, where's your microphone? Unmute yourself. Unhand yourself.
Is that Ray Band? Ha 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 ha.
No.
Oh, what's he doing?
Mr. Ray. He's one of the seven Rays.
There you go. Something's going on with his connection, it looks like.
He'll be back. Hopefully. Ray, you've got 15 minutes. Okay. You've got 15 minutes to sort out your microphone. Or at least make it work. We can't help you. You could call us on the telephone. Because
yes,
I've got a Scottish... Ray? No. Ray. Okay, call us on the phone. Actually, I don't know if it works. 0141. Yes, of course it works. 356-4141. There we go. Try that, Ray.
So, go ahead. In this field of moving elements, what about plasma? I don't know if anybody on this call has studied the electric universe model or...
Plasma. Okay, what's plasma? Plasma is matter on a higher dimension. How about that?
So I'm bringing it up because as we talk about the elements, it keeps coming to mind recently. It's like the universe is telling me to look here.
The liquid dimension of electricity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or matter. Okay. Okay, so for instance, there's plasma where you take water, okay, and it's for the minus 40 degrees, it's a hard thing. You add energy to it, and it becomes a liquid thing, and you add more energy to it, and it becomes steam.
Becomes the air thing.
And then you add more energy to it, and it becomes a plasma. At which point, it becomes explosive.
Yeah. That's what we're being hit with, I think.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, it's like, it's become so energetic that it's radioactive, but not in the sense that we all already were aware of. It's radio, you know, it's, the, it, you know, we thrive on radiation anyway. You know, certain kinds of radiation, infrared radiation usually, which is the one, you know, where we feel warm. You know, if we're surrounded by that particular red frequency, we feel okay. If there isn't any, it feels too cold. That's just, go ahead, Deb.
I did something weird. I don't understand it. It may not make any sense, but it came through and then it made my body jump.
Okay.
And it said plasma is bringing us back to zero field, to zero point. I don't know if that's true. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're related.
I think
well, the zero point in the teachings of the Deer Tribe that I was blessed with is in the middle of every wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It's also our setting place. And so, in other words, there's a zero point inside of each of us.
That would be where the star is.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so coming back to the... There is a progression.
Okay.
From a person, a being, through all the way to being a planet, to being a star, to being a supernova, to being a galaxy.
Yeah.
And that's evolution. And it all is about having a star in the middle, isn't it?
So is the plasma helping us connect with that star and grow it more, or is the star plasma, or does it even matter?
Plasma is what we emit and receive.
That's what our DNA is an antenna for.
Yeah, it's...
Right. It's ascending and receiving.
Okay, so that is a specific frequency. So if you want to see it, you want to see what it is. It's a particular blue. It's a shade of blue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an ultraviolet light. Now, if that light...
It's almost aquamarine, isn't it, JP? Yeah.
What's that word? Turquoise. Yeah.
It's almost
turquoise,
aquamarine.
Blue-green.
Yeah, it's a greenish blue.
Color.
So it's a flavor of low ultraviolet light.
Nice.
Okay. So that's what, if you want to picture plasma, that's its kind of frequency. So it's like, you know, remember the word ectoplasm. You know, plasma. And plasma is also what they call the stuff in our blood.
Right.
You know, the saline content of our blood is called plasma too. There's lots of things called plasmas.
It holds the
What were they trying to tell us when they used that term, JP?
It's all in the words, isn't it? Hidden in plain, right in
front
in,
of us.
Yeah,
in
what's the word? Hearing, plain sight. Hidden in plain sound. That's right.
No, go ahead. I was going to add some more pieces of the puzzle on the table for us to play with.
Go on, slam away. We got about 10 minutes.
So according to astrophysicists, cosmic rays are nuclei of elements like from hydrogen to iron. And the highest energy cosmic rays are those that they study strike like once per square kilometer per year. Like hitting the area of a soccer field with once in a century, according to astrophysicists. Now, I just got through seeing a guy named Dave from Australia in Cottonwood at Tolex, my brother's conference there. And he was doing a slideshow, and in that he showed a scalar law of mass versus radius, which is Nassim Harriman's work. And according to Nassim, the proton is the only standard. Everything else is, if you could log the mass of all of the other, like the Schwarzschild proton, the Planck's mass, the pulsar, the Earth, the Sun, the quasar, the universe, on a graph, the standard is the proton. So you would look to the proton for the center of that connects everything. In other words, it may be, how do I say this? Since it's the exception, it's the rule. Nothing else is stable except the proton.
I believe that.
Now again, I'm throwing puzzle pieces on the table the way JP does when he talks about pyramids.
And rocket stoves. So yeah. Okay, so, I did completely derail my train of thought.
Star stable and the plasma.
Plasma, you know. That's right. So, okay, so plasma is, you know that, it's a thing you used to have in the 70s and it was really cool and it's got this globe. And inside the middle of the globe, you got this little kind of glass ball. And off this glass ball comes these blue streaks. And you put your hand on the glass and it follows your thing. I'm sure we've all seen one of those.
Do we call that like a lightning ball or something? You could buy them at a novelty shop.
It's called also, it's called a plasma globe because that's what, that's plasma, right? Okay. That's the living plasma. You want to see what plasma is? That's what it is.
So to me, that's speaking of potential. In other words, it's not like particle and wave. Okay. It's different. It would be the field of potential.
It's a flow. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
In the same way, because like a waterfall, right, is a field of potential. Yeah. So when light comes from the center of a star to the outside of the star, it is flowing down in its potential. If there is a planet to receive some of that energy, because stars need planets to talk to and communicate with, and they do it it works at the speed of light, because every 8 minutes or so, which is about the time that light takes to reach the Earth from the Sun, there is a trail. They call it an ionic trail. And plasma flows along this ionic trail every 8 minutes. Now, it does it with the Earth. It probably does that with all the planets.
So we are becoming more connected.
This is how everything works. It's like, it's just like one of those plasma globes. That's what the solar system looks like. And as the planets go around, there are these communications between the star and the planet. And inside the star, it looks like the plasma globe. So there's a big empty space, like an atom, great big empty space inside the star, core of the star. And the outside remnant of the planet, which is called which is the surface, which has, you know, lots of holes in it that then light up the corona, which is it's like the flame. It's like the rocket stove with the flame separated from the fire. I knew everything was connected. This is how stars work. It's all, and again, it's all, so your proton, the hydrogen ion, is, dropping through the plasma, isn't it?
Isn't the rotating plasmas, super plasmas, what they use to navigate and create the starships?
Wow. Sounds familiar.
Which
isn't that what they call a super plasma, rotational super plasma or plasma fluid?
Super plasma fluid. Well, that'd be lovely. I'd love a couple of bottles of that.
That.
You could make any, as you say, you could make
a warehouse full.
Yeah, well, you know, just a tank, and you can make anything. Maybe that's the fuel cell for the replicator device. But maybe you can replicate that. Can you replicate the fuel for the replicator? Does that work? Can you do that? Eventually you have to rely on the replicator battery thing that drives it. You
wow.
Know? Or does it just run on universal energy without needing to have any power source at all?
I have to comment on Doran's comment in the chat.
Comments away.
He goes, hey, I'm going to have to send you guys to the principal's office if you don't stop talking about interplanetary sex. That's exactly what I was feeling, JP, when you were the planets were
oh, I see. I was just and talking, and you were thinking about it, and she picked it up. That's Pat.
And then he goes, it's all about electricity, magnetism, and that's what creates matter.
Yes. Absolutely. That's the whole thing. That's exactly the process. It's all the same. It really is all the same. It's all the same process.
That is exciting.
Yeah, so we go from a star. We go from an atom, right? An atom's pretty, that's a gravity generator, you know. And if everything's made of atoms, then everything's made of gravity generators. So we're all, you know, as it amasses, we generate more and more gravity. And... Ooh. What's that?
I don't know.
Is that your telephone?
That's the sound in outer space of a plasma sphere.
Oh, really?
Oh, thank you.
In space, nobody can hear your plasma sphere, and this is why. And on that final, can you play it? I'll play us some out, and then I'll bring in the outro, because that could be quite an interesting outro. So, thank you very much, Cheyenne. Thank you very much, Debs. It's been Deb, not Debs. Sorry, she's not plural. Singular, Debs. This has been Ever Beyond. Yeah. Roll the thing. Cheyenne, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Beyond.